So what are you able to tell us about tar sands, particularly as it relates to the Keystone controversy that we hear so much in this presidential race and the possibility of a tar sands pipeline coming through New Hampshire as well?
Well, we've done everything we can to get the Canadian regulators to not allow the reversal of the pipelines in Canada that would hook up with a pipeline into New Hampshire. But we've lost that fight. We've lost part of it so far. We'll continue to fight that. We'll continue to raise questions about continuing increasing the size of the tar sands projects. Sierra Club's position is a moratorium on further construction until we can figure out how to clean up the mess, and then we'll talk. But again, that's a very difficult debate to have. We have a very strong government. The federal government is based in Alberta. And you've already experienced having a Texan in charge. It's very similar in terms of the support for the fossil fuel industry. So we will continue to raise those questions. We think we're going to stop the pipeline in Canada that's going to the West Coast. There's two proposals there. The latest polls show that 56% of the public in British Columbia, where the pipelines are going, are opposed to it. The party that's in office right now is getting very cold feet about supporting it, and the party in opposition that's leading in the polls, and there's an election next spring, says if it's elected, there won't be a pipeline. If we succeed there, we can then turn our attention on to the east-west line and the line into the states. But we have to do this in order to get them to turn off the production. Like the dams we're talking about tonight, is that by continuing to increase the supply, they increase our dependence on it and lengthen our dependence on fossil fuels. And instead of investing in the solutions to climate change, they're investing in the causes.
And what can you tell us about environmental damage that's caused by tar sands?
Oh, it's enormous. There are hundreds of square kilometers, or tens of square miles, of areas that are just devastated and will never be back to what they were when they found them. They will probably produce grass and rabbits, but they won't actually be boreal forest again. There are hundreds of thousands of tons of mine tailings that contain arsenic and phenols and polyaromatic carbons, all the things that you don't want to ever be in contact with, floating around in tailing ponds a few hundred yards from the Athabasca River, which is one of the biggest rivers in North America. It supports tens of thousands of people. And it's one accident away from a total ecological disaster. And we have governments that cover for the industry rather than regulate it.
And then back to the Northern Pass and big hydro, actually. The mercury that you talked about, the mercury poisoning that occurs from these large-scale hydro projects, how is that? How does that process play out?
Well, there is mercury in all vegetation, but it's an organic kind that's not harmful. But when it's in rotting vegetation underwater, certain bacteria metabolize it and turn it into a harmful heavy metal version of mercury, which leads to what they call Minamata disease, where it was first identified in Japan with mercury poisoning. We have seen in the natives, the First Nations people that live around James Bay, elevated amounts of mercury in their bodies. I think the last study showed about seven times above the health limits recommended by the United Nations. So that over time dissipates. It over time, once it eats up all the stuff, it'll drop down again. But it takes a couple of generations, and we're not through those generations yet.